April 24th at 6 p.m. for the Underground hosted by the KBOO Youth Collective. Our theme this month is apocalypse.
We'll have stories about personal apocalypse, tragic environmental accidents, radio plays, and other interpretations of the apocalypse.
Again, that's the Underground, Wednesday, April 24th at 6 p.m. here on our community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 37th Annual Oregon Ceramic Showcase, Friday, April 26th through the 28th at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. Oregon Potters Association 37th Annual Ceramic Showcase and Sale features work by over 150 Oregon Potters Association members. It is one of the largest all-ceramic artist shows in the country. The showcase features sculptures, wall art, jewelry, tiles, functional pottery, and more. Again, that's the Oregon Ceramic Showcase, Friday, April 26th through the 28th at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Rose City Chocolate Festival, May 4th and 5th at the Doubletree Hotel by Hilton in the Lloyd District, featuring handcrafted work from the local and national chocolate makers, including milk chocolate, dark chocolate, specialty bars, truffles, toffee, and more, open to the public and family-friendly. Tickets and more information available online at rosecitychocolate.com. It's 8:01, time for Wednesday Talk Radio with Linda Olson Osterlin.
I don't like to super poke, scrabulous, hotness, update my status. I'm getting bored of Facebook, so don't invite me, or a sheep will bite me. Please don't hurt me, give me your graffiti, hot or not, so what, I don't wanna know. Movie quiz, sex quiz, stupid Johnny Depp. Family Guy, which one am I? They'll have to go. Pirates and zombies, I really hate these. Sticky notes, Harris, go join in the chorus, please. I'm getting bored of Facebook, so don't invite me, for a sheep will bite me. I hate applications, there are far too many.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio this morning. I'm Linda Olson Osterlin, and I'm stepping in for Paul Rowland, who couldn't be here this morning for our Wednesday morning talk radio show. I hope we'll have an interesting topic for you. We're going to talk about Facebook, and that song was just saying, aren't you bored of Facebook? And so please don't get bored before we have the conversation, because there's very important things to talk about around Facebook and other social media, and I really do want to hear from you. This is a call-in show, so I'm going to give you the phone number now so you can get ready. It's 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. That's the number to call in and talk about your experience with Facebook, your knowledge about it, and with other social media like WhatsApp, Instagram, Twitter, whatever kinds of social media you might use, or what you've chosen not to use and why. But I do want to tell you that it's a serious topic. It's not just, is this an annoyance? Maybe you heard recently the headline, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but that Facebook has been charged with housing discrimination by the U.S. government. That's right. Facebook is being charged, and they think they have the case, or they wouldn't be making it, of housing discrimination in the United States. So I also want to, there's a current article in the Mother Jones magazine called With Friends Like This, ... And I want to read you the introduction paragraph because I think it's really important and I don't have someone else to say it. So bear with me while I read this to you. This is in an article that has a subhead of Facebook talks a good game about connecting us, but it's really tearing us and our democracy apart. And this article is clearly an analysis and opinion piece as well by Clara Jeffrey and Monica Bauerlein. Here's the first paragraph. A country riven by ethnic tension, spontaneous protests driven by viral memes, Violence and riots fueled by fake news posts, often about terrorism by marginalist groups. It's a story that's been seen playing out throughout the world recently, from France and Germany to Burma and Sri Lanka and Nigeria. The particulars are different. Gas prices were the trigger in France, lies about machete attacks in Nigeria. But one element has been present every single time, and that's Facebook. In each of these countries, the platform's power to accelerate hate and disinformation has translated into real-world violence. That's a pretty important first topic, and it turns out to be true, the way that Facebook can be used and the way that the algorithms they are using on Facebook with their advertisers, their publishers, everyone who's sending you any kind of, quote, sponsored information, allows them to those algorithms have found, they use all the intimate information they can get about us, and they've found how to polarize us, that when they polarize us, when they put something extreme on, whether it's fake news or not, more of us click, more eyes to the advertisers. That's the whole point, more eyes to the advertisers. And so it's been very dangerous and is having a huge impact all around the world. We do have a caller already. Let's get her on. Suzanne, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm from Salem, and I call it Snalem because, you know, state capitals can be rather boring.
Yes.
But my call has to do with a very simple thing. Any time, and all of my friends know this, if they have gadgets with them, right, phone or whatever they're picking up, I get up and leave the coffee table or whatever and walk away. It's that simple. And so what I'm saying is my litmus test on Facebook or any other gadget location, the person who clings to that kind of verbiage is ignorant.
Do you have a computer, and do you use a computer?
A computer? Right now I don't, because it's a financial thing.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I will definitely go back. I'm a writer, so it's of course, right now I'm writing on those yellow pads. But I've earned this place with very much my behavior, which is truth. I tell truth. I ask questions. And I will respect someone else's point of view. But if they're quoting a gadget location like Facebook or whatever, they're not telling their own truth. So
yeah, I see what you're saying, Suzanne, is you don't want to have conversations with people that you feel are maybe unconsciously or consciously parroting what they're getting from somewhere else, rather than maybe authentic to their own experience.
I had a neighbor come over the other day, and she got hysterical, because I said, well, of course we know that Amazon, Facebook, all kinds of gadgets are in for other purposes than truth. And she said, well, how dare you? She said, I have all my friends. I have 300 friends on Facebook. I said, well, gosh, how do you have time to even know who they are?
Well, Suzanne, and I want to mention right there, I think you've sort of given one of the ways that people deal with this whole realm of social media, including YouTube and mm-hmm. is to just say, that's not for me, and I don't want to talk with you if you're going to be looking at one of those kinds of things. And then the other side is saying, and I know I've certainly said this, though I've withdrawn in the main from Facebook, not entirely, but I was so excited when I first started with Facebook, and this article in Mother Jones mentions that, when I could talk to friends that I hadn't seen in 15 years and keep up with other friends that have moved to another part of the country and see pictures of their grandchildren and show them pictures of mine with such facility. And that's sort of the crux of that division. I'm going to let you go, Suzanne, and let some other callers call in. But thank you for that.
Have a delicious life.
Well, and you too, and thank you for calling in, especially from out of the area a little bit. Salem, we always like to hear from people who are hearing us down in the valley.
Yeah,
So thank you. Yeah, so, you know, that's one of the way it divides, is just not, you know, not engage with them. And we tend to think of that as older people are the ones who don't engage with them. But I've met young people, they're not the majority, but I've met plenty of people, millennials and Gen X's, I still think of as young, who don't like to have to use the computer. Maybe they use it at work a lot, who have the most minimal of smartphones, if they have them at all, who choose to just get flip phones because they don't want to have their eyes and their mind drawn to this gadget when they're walking around town. I, on the other hand, I have a smartphone. It's just a Samsung, but it works well, and I am one of those people who's very happy to have email messages and text messages and phone messages all be able to come in on the same place. And I personally like to be able to go, where is that place? I know the name and look it up. And gee whiz, my phone already knows that I'm in Portland. It doesn't search for Portland, Maine either. It just right away tells me the location of a particular store or a particular business I'm looking for here. It'll even go to my neighborhood if I turned on the location device, which I don't. I turn off. So, you know, that's, you know, I'm there. I use those, but I also really, really limit my exposure to news feeds, and I had them taken off my my phone. Google started sending me its own news feed. I had that. I went in and said to Verizon, get this off. And I don't use any of the news feeds on Facebook, and I don't click on any sponsored ad, even if a very good friend sent it to me. So that's the way I manage it. How do you manage it? How do you manage the use of these very powerful tools and very dangerous tools? I want to talk a little bit more about how Facebook has actually been charged with housing discrimination. I'll give you that number again to call in. It's 503-231-8187. We've heard the way Suzanne chooses to deal with it, which is not to engage in using those and to not be sitting at a dinner table or a place where she's having conversations with friends while they're, if they start looking at their phone or their tablet instead of being part of the community going on right then. So how do you deal with it? And do you use different ones? I know people who use Twitter quite a bit, but I'm here at KABU. We have a lot of news people interested in the news. And so I know people who use Twitter to follow the news as part of as one of the sources that they use for that. I know people who go overseas who tend to use WhatsApp. That's also now bought and owned by Facebook. Do you use that one? Call in and let us know what you use, what you don't use, and how you feel about using it. But I'll tell you about Facebook has been charged with housing discrimination. They have, the FTC has found that they have tools for advertisers who are advertising houses that are, that literally can do a red line. If you have lived in Portland long, you may know that the way realtors, and they didn't just do it here in Portland, discriminated in housing was that they picked neighborhoods that they were going to allow African-American people to move into, and then they drew a red line around those neighborhoods. They would not allow or give housing loans to African-American people or black people wanting to buy houses outside of those red lines, and they would keep housing repair loans to a minimum so that the houses would begin to deteriorate, and then later they destroy them and develop something new in the place. And that was redlining, and it's a very serious form of, it is the main form of housing discrimination we see across the country, is that there are areas that secretly but do keep people from being part of it. Well, it turns out that Facebook has tools that allow people to put in things like ethnic affinities. They get to look and see what ethnicity the person is, what type of housing they live in now, how much have they paid for that housing, and what neighborhoods do they live in, and use those to discriminate and target for only people that they call white, whoever these housing developers distinguish that way. Pretty much straight out discrimination. And so you may think you're getting to look for housing through those apps and find out that you're not being shown anything, and there's a reason why, and it's because of your color. That might not be a big surprise to most African American people. I would suggest it probably isn't, but it is a surprise to the rest of us, and it is frustrating to see, even as we move into new technologies, we don't leave behind the old prejudices, quite the contrary. Do we have any callers on the line yet? Nope. Okay. Well, I can keep talking to you. I've got more information that I'm more than happy to share with you about how all of this has developed as well. It's really been a current development. And how nefarious is it? One of the things that I discovered in reading about in the article in Mother Jones is that Facebook has hired particular firms that they want to use conservative firms to select now to go through and take off certain kinds of ads, take off certain kinds of information. And okay, and we do have Jenna on the line. I'll let Jenna on. But that's also one of the ways they're operating. Go ahead, Jenna. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Linda. Good morning. Okay, so I'm someone who, I'm of that millennial generation, and so, you know, I've been on social media for, it feels like, my entire adult life. But recently I've been taking a little bit of a Facebook break, and I thought that I would just be kind of taking a break from, you know, social media commenting because it was kind of stressing me out. But now that I've been off it for a couple months, actually maybe it's been like 3 months, I've discovered how much of my life uses Facebook and that I kind of can't live without social media for my job. You know, like I need to constantly look for events and just that sort of thing. It's just become so integrated with multiple parts of my life. It almost feels like I don't understand how to divorce myself from social media without completely like changing my profession and stuff. So yeah, that's just my comments.
Yeah,
there.
Thank you about that. I think there's lots of professions. Of course, journalism and those kinds of professions require you to promote yourself via social media, but so do all sorts of other things. And when you're applying for jobs now, they want to look at your social media accounts, and which ones you would want them to see or not see might make a difference. But I think that's a really interesting comment. I find it true, too. I was one of those that Cambridge Analytica took my information along with an 87 million other people and then resold it. So all of the, I have like, because of a former radio show, I have probably about 650 friends on my Facebook, and all of my friends were also, and all of their information was also stolen, because that's how it works on Facebook. And so, and then when I found out that those Cambridge Analytics weren't just stealing and using that data, say, to sell me mattresses or, some kind of ad for clothing or something like that. No, they were targeting political opinions. And it turns out that Cambridge Analytica has been had gained personal access to detailed information about millions of Facebook's users without Facebook ever letting us know, And then when they did let us know, we haven't been allowed to really understand the damage that could do to us and how far that could go. So it's a big problem. In my opinion, it's a big problem, but it's not one that's easy to solve. Say I want to look up a political event, an event that's happening in town, say that, you know, an environmental event or a Black Lives Matter event. Where am I going to go to find out about it? There's no really centralized, here's all the activities you would want. You know, you're going to also be looking at 3 beer festivals and 2 tulip festivals at the same time, trying to sort through. And yet I can go to Facebook and find their page, maybe put in a topic, find their page, find out where the event is going to be. So I find it hard not to use Facebook like that. And it turns out, according to what I've been reading, is that every time you touch in with Facebook, even if it's just touching in to do something like that, it grabs everything else that your phone has on it, or your whole history that's in the browser that you're using for it. It reaches in with other apps and drives all of that. So you're never safe from them taking your data. And that data involves, there's an article out here that's very interesting in my opinion. It has the, let me see if I can find it for you here, 98 personal data points that Facebook uses to target ads to you. I also want to make it clear that the logarithms, they say Facebook targets, but really, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. It's algorithms. The algorithms they use are faster and way more effective than a human brain could be. And what they're best at is predicting what you will be interested in and what you will like and what you will do when they give you certain kinds of information. So when, for example, in Nigeria, where they've tried to make Facebook be the gateway for all of the internet for many of them, they allowed ads and stuff that set off a whole feeding frenzy of two different sides and ended up in multiple murders. So very dangerous when they gather this data about you and then target you to try to scare you, to get you angry at others, etc. We do have another caller on the line. It's Joe. Welcome, Joe.
Conversation.
Hi, Joe. Go ahead and start again.
Yeah, I appreciate this conversation you're having. I myself struggle with Facebook both being, you know, this way that I'm connected to the world in a way I don't have any other way to be, and yet it somehow kind of sucks up my time too. And I feel like it's important to stress that the evils or the problems stem from the private ownership of these technologies and websites, and the way also that they fit into an economy us to kind of compartmentalize our life into that, like, 10 seconds waiting for the bus or the elevator as, like, the only time that we kind of get to kind of try and step outside of the routines that have control over our life. And that if we had more time, we would also be able to kind of organize connections and communications outside of these digital kind of, it's kind of like the social equivalent of the social life equivalent of the gig economy, where we're just, you know, able to plug into just what is available. And it's that lack of control that I think is what really causes the most problems. And that lack of control comes from private ownership.
Yes. And private ownership that has a point of view, because as it turns out, Facebook is over more than 50% of its screening is towards the extreme conservative. And when they started changing back, supposedly giving up their newsfeed and making it more personal, they cut back the most against leftist organizations, and they actually hired a firm to go after George Soros because he criticized them. And they hired a secret firm, and for 18 months they, you know, tried to figure out ways to get at Soros and turn their algorithms on him. So it's a very interesting thing, and I know what you mean about turning it on to just kind of relax and see what's there, but a while ago I started to mind that they kept showing me the same videos that I love to see, and they had to know I love to see, because the only place I ever saw them was on my feed on Facebook, you know, like horse videos or Native American dancing or those kinds of things. Everybody has mm-hmm. their favorite, a lot of it's kittens, but they keep us, our eyes to their advertisers and to them collecting data while we do that. We do have another caller on the line. It's Edie. Good morning, Edie.
I think a very simple solution that helps more people be aware of progressive activities, events, classes that are happening in the Greater Portland, Vancouver area, without giving any information to Facebook, Twitter, Apple, Microsoft, et cetera, the government. So in the old days, we used to have community calendars. What we could come up with is have the Portland.
We're having trouble hearing you. Are you driving by any chance, or?
I am moving, and I have to keep moving. I'm sorry.
Okay, just try to keep your. We're hearing you a little better right then, so just try to keep your, you know, talking right to the phone.
So what we can have is a website, which has a calendar of events. It has it cross. Cross-checked by categories of education, public, you know, protest, public hearing, etc. And then that information gets more detail. And then you can have on the right a column where you have
what organizations support it and what level degree. Either they are the ones who are organizing it, they're paying for it, they're sponsoring it, or they say, yes, we think this is a good idea, we want you to go too. And that way, a lot of us can all put our information into one place.
So basically, you're talking about a little bit more selective grouping and that people would come to. I think that there are, in some ways, there's YouTubes are used that way. You know, there'll be a YouTube person who has a YouTube channel, and then there grows up a group of people who follow that channel or watch that channel, and then
yeah,
they form
something that doesn't have YouTube. And
right, I understand. Not using a corporate. I was just describing a kind of thing. You know, Edie, I know we have tried that here in Portland at least two times. I know that we've tried to have community bulletin boards that people could go to their computer and go to that board and look up events and also put on events, and somehow they have not really caught on in any big way. But I hear what you're saying about just doing it outside of any of those other platforms that are already existing and just form your own little a community calendar website.
It also helps different organizations find out about and support each other and share resources and pay for a great trainer or an event or musicians that they would not be able to afford individually, but collectively we get the large numbers of people there. So I'm seeing this as the Greater Portland People's Progressive Resource Center, in which we have the calendar of events as well as having spaces for teaching activism and moving the population.
Edie, do you have anybody working on this, developing this website or anything as of yet?
I've had lots of folks say they want it to happen and they'll do a little bit of it, but aren't going to be the main website designer.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I wish you good luck on that. I'll be interested to hear. You can always call in on our Morning Talk Radio and let our listeners know about it once it gets launched or something like that. And thanks for calling in.
And for tonight, if you're talking about Facebook and housing discrimination and racism inherent in that, today would be a free presentation from 6 to 8:30 at the University Hotel on Southwest Lincoln by James Lawson, who was a patriot with Martin Luther King.
Say what that event is again.
Institute.
Say what the
James
Lawson, I heard, but what's the event?
He's going to be talking about nonviolence.
Okay, great.
And they have the 24th through the 28th is their institute on being effective in political change using nonviolence.
And tonight, it's tonight at 6 to 8:30 at the University Hotel, and it's James Lawson on violence. Well, thank you. All right, and now we're going to go to our next caller, who I believe is Robbie.
Hello. I just wanted to say good morning to you all and let your listeners know about why Facebook is the way it is.
Sure.
A lot of people are I'll cut to the chase. The Defense Advanced Research Project Agency was developing LifeLog. And if you look up LifeLog, they dropped LifeLog in the year in 2004 on February 4th. Here's why that's important. Because February 4th, 2004 was the same exact day that Facebook was founded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look up NQTEL, NQTEL has... Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so here's why a lot of people... Facebook is essentially, in my eyes, and this might be a controversial opinion, but Facebook is government-run, which is why you're noticing it being conservative-based. You're talking about how they were... they're censoring the left news outlets. And it's funny because on the news, what we found out was, you know, like, oh, they're banning Alex Jones, or oh, they're banning the right people. In reality, when that ban took effect, they were doing it to the left. Now, the reason why is because it's government-owned. NQTEL, I-N-Q-T-E-L. Look up the Wikipedia for that. You find that it's actually a CIA-run venture capitalist firm, which when you look at the organizers of that, they founded Amazon. They did Facebook. Now, DARPA's LifeLog project back when they and it was started in the late 90s, the LifeLog project was from DARPA. What they wanted to do was they wanted to make a
What's DARPA again?
That would, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. It's a government-based. It's what creates and the innovation in our
Okay.
What am I trying to say? The war machine industry. Basically, DARPA is our government. That's how they fund development for weapons, right? They also do it not just for weapons. They do it for security, surveillance, all sorts of reconnaissance. And basically, if you look up the LifeLog Project, LifeLog Project from the Wired magazine. This is all, if you just type it into a
right,
search.
Right, I got it.
You'll find an article from Wired dated February 4th, 2004, explicitly detailing how they randomly dropped the LifeLog Project. And when you go to Wikipedia's Facebook page, you find that Facebook was founded on the same exact day that LifeLog was dropped. So right now, what we have is through an organization called NQTEL, which is a venture capitalist firm which supports technology from the CIA. What's going on is you have the government funding these things secret-handedly. Right? Right now, they did the whole thing where they had Zuckerberg, you know, answer questions, and then they had the old senators be like, you know, like, do you think, you know, blah, 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 and make them sound all stupid. What that's doing is that's gauging for public support of things that take away the Fourth Amendment right, which is why Facebook is bad. But the thing about it is that Facebook is not a private entity. It has funding from the government. And looking up NQTEL and the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency's LifeLog project, you can see clearly that Facebook was, in fact, it started out, sure, you know, privately and whatnot. But what you look into is, and a lot of people don't know this, Amazon didn't turn a profit until the year 2013.
Right, it took forever.
Took over.
Well, I appreciate that information. Robbie, I think it's valuable information, and you gave us the sources to be able to look it up, which I really appreciate. So thank you for calling in with that. I'm going to go on to another caller, but before I do I want to read, it sort of fits in with what he's saying, and you know, all this Russiagate stuff we'd been hearing about. Well, it turns out that Russian influence operations put special emphasis on African-American communities. I'm quoting from the Mother Jones article. Using both Facebook and Facebook's owned Instagram with accounts such as @Blackstagram to discourage people from voting. And the Russians didn't slow down after the election. They simply switched gears and began deriding the Robert Mueller investigation. It's also really interesting that when Brett Kavanaugh was sitting to be on the Supreme Court, when he was facing questioning one of the main players in... one of the main players, the vice president of Facebook, was sitting right behind him, showing his support. And there was a lot of pushback from inside Facebook about it. That man went ahead and gave the party a congratulations party when he actually stepped up to the Supreme Court. So there was Facebook making a public statement about its affiliation. The vice president said, "Oh no, this wasn't public. I was just there as a personal matter." But obviously, it shows the bias. And I find that very interesting as well. We do have other callers, and I want to go ahead and get to them. So I think we have next is Nanette. Hello? Are you there? Nanette?
Hello?
Hi, are you there?
Yeah.
Welcome to KBOO.
Hi.
Hi. What would you like to say?
Thank you for having this discussion. Personally, I'm very concerned about the prevalence of surveillance capitalism in our country. I personally find it offensive that my whole town has been turned into a Wi-Fi hotspot. Wi-Fi has been known as a weapon of war since the 1950s, and the fact that it's being sold to people as a modality for surveillance cellular convenience.
And are you living, where are you living, in Portland?
Well, I am living in Portland, Oregon, and I am talking on a cell phone because I have no other choice.
Yeah, but I just wondered which city you were talking about that you felt was, like, covered with Wi-Fi. I didn't know if you meant that it was actually had a municipal system for Wi-Fi, or if you just mean it's ubiquitous, it's everywhere.
It's ubiquitous. It is everywhere. We cannot escape it. It is and I find it quite offensive. And just to fill in on Edie, the last comment, the commenter before the last, there are platforms. There used to be a lot of activity on a site called indiemedia.org, where local community groups could.
Yeah, that was one of those. Yeah.
And that used to get a lot of
events.
There was a lot of energy there before Facebook came in. I have been off Facebook for over 3 years now. I feel quite liberated.
That's great. Yep.
And I would like to go back to my dial-up phone on the wall. I could talk on it for hours. I never got a headache. I never lost it. You know, my growing up, all my friends' families had union jobs. They worked at the phone company. Now when I go, now I have to pay $3 to pay my bill. I'm forced to pay a fee to pay my bill.
Is that through what system? I'm not clear what you're talking about.
Well, I can allow them into my account and not have to pay $3. But when you sign for cellular companies, like let's say Cricket, to go pay your bill, you are charged $3.
Oh, I see, as opposed to allowing them to withdraw it. I didn't realize that, yeah. Well, you know, it's definitely hard to detangle from the internet and to not be part of the system that are set up through all of us. Like you're saying, banking. I know people who've tried to not use banks at all and found it almost impossible to do certain functions in our society without having that backup of that debit card or backup account. So I think that it's definitely becoming more difficult, and yet it can be done if you're determined. So,
well, the airwaves used to belong to the people. Okay, from my floor to where the airplanes fly, that airspace was the public's. Now I've got 18 signals in my living room of Wi-Fi that I can't do a damn thing about. And I'm not even a customer.
Yeah, I mean the availability of Wi-Fi comes up on your thing like that. I got it. Well, thank you for calling in, Nana. You brought up another point about it. I do have another caller on the line, and please hold on before you do. I'd like to let people know what's coming up on KBOO this morning, and then we'll get to our next caller. I'm Linda Olson-Osterlund, by the way, and I'm sitting in for Paul Rowland, who had to be out today on Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. Coming up later this morning at 9, it's Radio Activists featuring live guests from grassroots activist movements, both near and far, speaking about what's happening and what should happen next and where you come in. Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein's at 10. At 11, it's Radio Zine featuring organizers of the 82nd Avenue of Roses Parade to talk about this favorite annual East Portland event. And all of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. I wanted to thank all of you listeners of our talk radio shows, and in particularly of Paul's, for calling in with your contributions and your becoming members this last fund drive that just ended last Saturday. We appreciate everything you do. And of course, we do depend on you, the listener, to become a member listener. And if you'd like to do that right now, you can. It's kboo.fm. Or if you're listening on the computer, on the upper right-hand part of the home screen, it says donate. You just click on that, and it takes a couple minutes. We appreciate when you become members anytime. And thank you for that. We do have another caller on the line, and we're talking about Facebook and social media, its pluses and minuses, and how you handle it and what you do with it. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. The earlier caller was talking about community bulletin boards. There is one that's on Craigslist, and it's free. It's called, they have a community section. So, but the only issue is you can flag those if you don't like what's going on. You can flag it, and they could probably remove it. So, but I think that's a good one to go to is Craigslist.
So you've used that to find events and stuff?
Yes.
Okay, great. I never even would have thought of that. There's so many different things. I use YouTube very modestly. I use YouTube just to listen to music mostly. I hear an old song or think of some singer, then I want to hear that song, and I look it up on YouTube. But I know other people use it for much more than that, and that their special YouTube channels they go to, the ways they like to use that. I'd love to hear people call in and talk about that as well. The number is 503-231-8187. Anything else, Harry?
And what else was, I'm glad you bring it up about Cambridge Analytics and what they did. And not only they our election, they also involved in the Nigerian election, and they were also involved in Brexit. And a lot of people in England are finding out about Brexit, and they're thinking, well, maybe, we've been coerced. And they were thinking about maybe, that's the issue they're having right now. And it could be very economic, very bad for the European Union, what's going on, that here, or get someone did this to them, splitting England from the European Union. Who would do that? Of course. What the English, what the British government and our government say, they point the finger at the Russians.
Yes.
And when they point the finger at the Russians, it means it's CIA involvement and M5 involvement. And how come, since Cambridge Analytics was in England, how come they didn't surround the place, made everyone come out with their hands up, gone through all the information and everything on it, but they didn't do anything like that?
Well,
got punished.
You know who's one of the founders, one of the co-founders, is Steve Bannon. If you remember him on the Trump, he's in Breitbart. He's one of the most extreme right wingers that Trump has had in his White House. Now he's not in his White House, but he's still a right winger, and he's putting his influence to work overseas. And Cambridge Analytica is not some just neutral player. They are the go-to person for being able to gather data and target particular people with certain kinds of ads and certain kinds of fake news that appears to be a true story to get.
And they're still doing it. Just that way. Hey, they point their fingers at the Russians. Everyone's falling. Oh, the Russians are doing. The Russians say no, they didn't. So who do you believe? And we know it must be our, other people that are, with lots of money and our government that's doing this.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for taking
Thank you, time. Harry. Any other people want to call in? You still got some time. It's 503-231-8187. Please do give us a call. We're talking about Facebook and social media. I was trying to look up some of the other things that I read about the nefarious things that have been done by Facebook. Let's see. Here's one. Slate goes public with the fact that Facebook's algorithm changes have led to an 87% decline in referrals. Also, Mother Jones itself had an interesting experience with Facebook. When Facebook started putting on news feeds, they got a big jump in how many people saw Mother Jones. It went way up to over 20 million, and that was exciting. But then they, and they knew what the jump was coming from. But then when there started being all the demands for accountability, and Facebook did the, oh, we're going to only tell you about your friends, or we're going to emphasize just news from your friends, and we're going to take the news feed off. Well, they started like taking off different forms of news. Well, Mother Jones went right back down to the level that it was at in reaching readership before, which was a huge drop. It was normally reaching between 5 and 10 million more, sitting there in the 5 and 7 million people. So, but as Mother Jones says, they have other platforms and other ways to get their message out, and they do, including print media. But the use of that news feed on Facebook, one of the most large effects is on regular journalism. Regular journalism has taken a hit like never before. Thousands of people being laid off instead of writing the news and using these more closely, I don't know how you call them, these social media targeted advertising type of style of doing it. And let's go for an, I do have a list here of 98 personal data points that Facebook uses to target ads to you. It's from the Washington Post on August 19th in 2016, but it's still very interesting. I'm sure it's even more than that now. So I encourage you guys to look for that. We do have another caller. It is, say again, please. I'm sorry. I'm hearing it in my ear from my engineer, Liam Delta. Susan. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you for taking my call. Just a couple comments. I initially got a Facebook account to just be a part of my children's life when they were at college many, many years ago and didn't really use it. But probably in the last 3 years, and we know what's occurred in the last 2 to 3 years, I have been joined some groups, been able to follow some people. I still don't have a very large friends list, but purposefully, but I'm able to really get some good information and be exposed to some articles on my newsfeed or whatever they call it, timeline, that I wouldn't otherwise see, and then have made some actual in real life connections to groups and community organizations that I've participated in and supported.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I do in terms of the, I don't really get too many ads. I think there's been 3 or 4 times when on my, whatever, it's a news feed where they've put in ads and I cull them out like weeds in a garden. So I just, every time there's one there, I just say, I don't want to see it and whatever the current lingo mm-hmm. is Facebook has, say it's irrelevant to me. And if I do that for about a day or two, then I don't, it's not, I slip off for another few months without those ads. And then I just try to be, you know, I will share things and, you know, comment on things in the group primarily, but that seems to minimize my exposure. And then just one other thing, not on Facebook, but when I do searches, I usually don't use Google anymore or Yahoo. I there are a few different ones. I use something called StartPage, but they ostensibly or reportedly do not remember your searches, so you're not really inundated with quite as many ads and things. They use Google, but it's like a barrier between you and Google remembering it. So that kind of minimizes some of those.
And that's called ads. Start. That's called Start Page.
Yeah, Start Page. There's, there was an article and they listed 3 or 4 different ones, and I just picked that one. I think if you look for, you know, articles on all other search engines, you can do that. And I also refer, tend to say, rather than say I Google something, I'll say I search for it on the information highway. I just don't need to further brand. Normalize the word Google. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Susan. I do know that switching browsers from the one that they usually get to collect information from you can be helpful in maintaining a little bit of your privacy. That may be, we're just making ourselves feel better, though. We do have another caller on the line. It's Tom, I believe. Good morning, Tom. Are you there? It looks like we must have lost Tom. Do we have Mike on the line?
Yeah, we do.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Yeah, Start Page, that's great. There's probably a few others, but they could grow with time. One of the things we can organize socially, locally, is with what we have. And one of the positives, let's say Facebook information gathering is kind of a scary negative thing, true, but it's also a good tool. And you brought up the parade, community parade on 82nd Avenue that's annual, and the racist, you know, organizations, even not just individuals, were trying to kind of take it over, and then it was canceled.
I'm very curious about what this radio zine program will be at 11. It's at 11. It says Radio Zine features organizers of the 82nd Avenue of Roses Parade to talk about this annual East event. I'll be really interesting
huge.
To hear what happens. I mean, to hear that.
Well, we need to make it happen. We need to make sure. My point is, we can use social media to deal with the city and the county and the community and the neighborhood associations and say, okay, let's not totally exclude these KKK marches. Let's get them, instead of illegal, regulate them like alcohol and control them. And, okay, and then make sure we get identifications on all these people and their families and their license plate, track them back to their cars, find out when and where they're coming, and let them know that we're all going to be doing this in the community as citizens. And maybe they won't show up at all. Thank you very much.
Well, I think that's a very interesting way of handling that. Thank you for calling, Mike. And I believe we have another caller on the line. It is Linda. Linda, this is Linda calling Linda.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Nice name.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed listening to you for a long time. Anyway, I have been off the internet probably 15 years. I'm 67, and I went on Facebook for just a really short time, probably a year, when I used to go to the library and use the internet for research. And the nice thing was reconnecting with high school friends, but it wasn't a big enough pull for me to get into that whole thing. Like, I live out in the woods now. I moved from Portland last year, and my next door neighbor has Wi-Fi, and he has, you know, he's all hooked up, and I don't want to have any of that around me. And the main benefit, when I listen to people talk about all the complexities of everything, is I don't have that in my mind. You know, I get to read lots of books, which I really enjoy. And the bad part is that it does somewhat isolate me from society, even when I was in Portland, because everybody uses it now, and everybody uses it. Like, it's still odd to me that if I call someone on the telephone, like we're talking right now, that some people consider that it must be an emergency, or, you know, why didn't I text them? In other words, people are so hooked into this new technology, and it's the norm. And so
It's true. With my kids, I have three adult children, and boy, as soon as I realized that when I texted, I got to actually communicate with them quickly, and that when I called, they might not be able to call back until that night, or I might not hear back from them for the next day. I went to texting, and there that technology became my go-to way of communicating with my children. And you know, I don't know what to say about that, except I've been trying to get them to join with me on a encrypted text system called Signal, is the name of the particular encryption. And if both parties have that, everything you say is private. And the reason that one sticks with me is because it turns out that texts can be read in real time by the police. So when we're having a demonstration or something like that, if we're texting each other information, we're giving that to Homeland Security or the police or whoever is surveilling us that way. And we know that the FBI in Portland has used it before to surveil the messages going back and forth between activists. So,
the whole issue of privacy and the whole issue of information being given to the wrong people and for the wrong purposes. And it's so entrenched now in our society that I was talking to somebody, and it was something about keeping a hard copy of a photograph of his new grandchild. And he was saying the hard copy was just so you could bring it back to digital. And that really stuck in my mind, like, oh, just a photograph isn't even a photograph in an album anymore of any value. It's again, the digital system is so huge in the majority.
And so convenient. We're carrying that phone with our camera right on it. I cannot resist taking pictures of all sorts of odd things, like fungus and trees and houses I see.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you, Linda. I see the real problems with this. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and I'm going to be thinking of you out there being free of that kind of intervention.
Well, thank you. Leave it on a positive note. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Linda. And bye-bye. Now we have Bob on the line. Good morning, Bob. This is Linda.
Hello.
With KBOO.
Linda, hi. This is Bob. It's been a very interesting conversation. I'd like to add a few things. One is I'd like to take it back. There are certain foundation that we're starting with. I'd like to go below that foundation. And first of all, it's a powerful tool, but the power is held by basically a corporate environment. The purpose of Facebook is not to allow the personal benefits that we all get from it. It's there to serve certain interests, let's just say.
Well, and it's definitely there to make money, but it's also been it's making money off of people's information and using what you know about them to influence their thinking.
Exactly. And yes it is. But that's where I'd like to get down to. First of all, it is not it. There are many kinds of these.
Right.
If you think back a little bit, if everybody would.
Well, let's make our points quickly because I got two more callers in only 6 minutes.
Okay, very very quickly. One is that you don't have to use Facebook. There are other social media things. The second thing, the main point I want to make, a very simple point, whether it's Facebook, Google, whatever you're using, is this power needs to be in the hands of the people that use it, and that can be done. Currently, it is not. Until you change that, then you, by using it, any person, including myself, you know, who's helped to develop this over a long career in IT,
mm-hmm.
has to admit that we have accepted the use of our information for that. We know that it's happening, and by using it, we give our consent.
I think so that's one of the
reasons. If you don't want it to happen, find a LO. There are dozens of them out there. Find another social media thing that does not, you know, sell your privacy.
Do you know one?
That's what I'd say.
Do you know one?
One. Hello. Hello's one.
Hello?
Vero. Vero's another one. Mastodon's another one.
Mastodon?
Dig. Steemit. Rafter. Diaspora.
I didn't know these, so I'm really glad you're saying them, because that allows me to look into those and allows other people to look into them. Thank you very much for calling in with that information, Bob.
Okay. One more point is that, you know, all the things that we call technology, all the things that we say power, are empowering somebody, but we have to watch and see whether they empower the user, empower us, the people.
And whether they're empowering not. Hate and division in our society through the ads that they produce for us.
Well, they also inspire information. For instance, you said the Russians are doing this, the Russians are doing that.
Oh, I only used one
exactly
example of the Russians just because I'm...
One example.
Yeah, they're one of many
I know,
that use
I,
it.
You did. They're one of many things, but then, I can tell you that if it appears that the Russians did something, then it was probably somebody else pretending to be a Russian.
Well, I don't want to be part of the warmongering towards Russia. I don't believe
I that
their
not.
Government
I know
operates
that.
Any differently than many other governments. And so when I say that they did that, that's just one of the examples. I'm
well,
quite sure we'll find more.
Well, that's good about them.
No. Well, listen, I've got two more callers on the line. I need to let you go right now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is it Wally who's on the line now, or Jack?
Yeah, this is Jack.
Hi, Jack.
I'm going to try to be. I'll try to be as quick as I can. The cyber warfare era is upon us, and it is ubiquitous. I'm reading from a New York Times article right now,
mm-hmm.
An internal report on the Alabama effort obtained by the New York Times says explicitly that it experimented with many of the tactics now understood to have influenced the 2016 elections. Okay, and what they did was they created a Facebook page on which they posed as conservative Alabamans. We're talking about the Roy Moore campaign here,
uh-huh.
Using it to try to divide Republicans and even endorse a write-in candidate to draw votes from Mr. Moore. It involved a scheme to link the Moore campaign to thousands of Russian accounts that suddenly began following the Republican candidate on Twitter, a development that drew national media attention. quote, "We orchestrated an elaborate false flag operation that planted the idea that Moore's campaign amplified on social media by Russian bots," the report says.
Now, the "we" is who? Who are the "we" again?
The people from, I think it's New Knowledge is the organization.
Okay,
New Knowledge. You can look this up in the New York Times. New Knowledge, New York Times, Roy Moore, that'll get you there. Now, I'm flipping over to a Guardian report from 8 years ago or something, revealed U.S. spy operation that manipulates social media. Military sock puppet software creates fake online identities to spread pro-American propaganda. This is something the Pentagon developed.
I've got to let you. I got to let you wrap it up on that, and I'm so sorry that I did not get to Wally. Thank you, Jack, for that information. Though I'm sure our audience was catching into that, and I want to thank our engineer Liam Delta for all of the work he's been doing with us this morning, and all of you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in to KBOO.
Tune in to KBOO on Wednesday, April 24th at 6 p.m. for The Underground, hosted by the KBOO Youth Collective. Our theme this month is apocalypse.
We'll have stories about personal apocalypse, tragic environmental accidents, radio plays, and other interpretations of the apocalypse.
Again, that's The Underground, Wednesday, April 24th at 6 p.m. here on our community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 37th Annual Oregon Ceramic Showcase, Friday, April 26th through the 28th at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. Oregon Potters Association 37th Annual Ceramic Showcase and Sale features work by over 150 Oregon Potters Association members. It is one of the largest all-ceramic artist shows in the country. The showcase features sculptures, wall art, jewelry, tiles, functional pottery, and more. Again, that's the Oregon Ceramic Showcase, Friday, April 26th through the 28th at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you so much for supporting KBOO during our recent spring membership drive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.